It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and Michelle.
That's us.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters just barely survived Orlando. I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Tiffany.
I'm here with special guest Tiffany Ming.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. We're talking about backstage magic.
Fresh off that Orlando grind. Yes.
Fresh off just surviving on emergency and chicken nuggets.
Truly. Truly.
We begin today with breaking news.
So today we're going to talk, even though this happened 2 weeks ago, we're recording early, about the Disneyland ticket price increases. So they increased the passes and the tickets.
Yeah, it's up there, man.
Yeah, the pass I have only went up by $50.
Yeah, this is not the biggest jump that we've seen in Disneyland price hikes in a long time.
Mm-mm.
This one seems pretty mellow by comparison.
And the tickets went up a little bit, but my cousin was actually asking me about the three-day tickets, and she's like, oh, I wanted to buy them, but the Southern California tickets, but I don't want to go 3 days in a row. And I'm like, I think you don't have to use them in a row.
I don't know. I know they used to be, there's a few different types of multi-day tickets. Like I have some friends that get the military tickets, and those are specifically a set amount of days that you can use for like an entire year. And I know they used to be whenever you had a multi-day ticket, you had to use them within 2 weeks, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
And even 2 weeks, that's not too bad. If you're a local.
If you're local, yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, because I was saying like you had to use it between January and May, I believe. And you just, those are the only, and I'm like, that's doable.
I mean, I think it gets a little bit trickier now that we have so many tiers and
that's
so
true.
Many different price options.
That is true. Yeah.
We had three tiers and now we're looking at five tiers, all with different ticket prices.
Oh, they have five tiers now?
Yeah. So when they bumped up the annual pass prices, they also bumped up Max Pass add-on.
Yeah.
And now we have five different, instead it used to be just value, regular, and peak. And now it's tier 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, wow.
So like a tier one, these are adult prices. A tier one, 1 day, one park is now $98. A park hopper is $159 compared to a tier five, which I'm assuming is like
Saturday,
Christmas,
July.
Yeah. Disneyland's birthday, like those big days, is $154 for 1 day, one park.
Ooh. The good thing, though, is that I've noticed now it's less crowded on a Saturday in July than a Tuesday in February.
Oh my gosh, this past summer was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. Like there was nobody there. It was empty the whole time.
They added so many blockout dates to the annual passes because of Galaxy's Edge.
And they blocked sign-ins too for so long.
Yeah.
It was just,
it was a magical, just a magical summer.
It's a magical time we'll tell our children and our children's children.
Magic happens. It was last summer.
I'm really excited about that parade. I haven't been that excited. Just side tangent. I haven't been so excited about a parade in a while.
No, yeah, it's gonna be the good stuff.
It's gonna be the good Mickey.
I'm hyped.
And the passes, I was getting signature, and then I think just because of, then I would add Max Pass. So I think next year I'm gonna do Signature Plus and just bite the bullet and go for it, and just like live with my parents forever.
I mean, live your life. I went down, so I've had the Premier Pass for a few years, which is the one that's for here and Orlando. Last year did not go enough to justify it at all. I think I went once and then ended up there because I had a weird layover situation on the flight going to Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And it's an amazing, amazing pass, but I was like, I can't justify it. And I am on that flex and I love it.
People love the flex pass. I think people are scared of it because of the pre-booking situation, but I've heard people booking it in the parking lot and going in.
Yeah, we've gotten, Matt and I both have the Flex and we get same day reservations all the time.
Yeah, and I think more people might get it eventually, but I think like as long as you're diligent, you'll definitely be fine.
Like right now, it's incredible. 2 years from now, I don't know that I could say the same.
As they keep that price down and everything else goes up.
Yeah, I mean, a Flex Pass is, it was $5.99 and now it's $6.49. So it went up like $50. The Flex is great. Everything else has increased, not too bad. The Southern California Select, which you can't buy anymore, you have to be grandfathered into, is now $4.19. The Deluxe jumped from $7.99 to $8.29. So that's only $30. Signature $11.49 to $11.99. So $50. Signature Plus, $13.99 to $14.49. Still only $50. It sounds crazier, but
yeah.
So not the biggest increases that we've seen at all. Yeah. I mean, if when you think about how many annual pass holders are in the park mm-hmm. on a daily basis versus ticket holders mm-hmm. or vacationers, mm-hmm. I mean, annual pass holders are going to outweigh a ticket holder tenfold.
Yeah. I think it's what 70% of their tickets are the turnstile. It's annual pass holders.
I don't know that number, mm-hmm. but that I've kind of always just said that because that's mm-hmm. how it seems.
Yeah. Disney, I don't think has ever released official numbers, but that's the best estimate.
Yeah. I mean, I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
And then I heard Orlando's the inverse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Walt Disney World is great, but it is for people that vacation. Mm-hmm. That's the most difficult home park.
Mm-hmm.
I could not fathom a life where that's my home park.
People there are very angry. not people who work there, but like people who attend there.
Oh, I think that's really the biggest difference too, mm-hmm. as far as your experience as a guest in Disneyland is so much more chill and laid back mm-hmm. because you're dealing with a lot of annual pass holders.
There's no pressure.
To go frequently. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If they don't catch the fireworks tonight, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the end of the world for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Disney World is, we saved up all year. Mm-hmm. This is my vacation. Like mm-hmm. every Karen is out in full force in Walt Disney World. And you do not get in front of her children. You do not. It's such a different energy.
And people are with their families the whole time. Like, you know, at Disneyland, you've been with your family, what, maybe just the day? Disney World, you've been with your family mm-hmm. the entire week. And that can be draining for a lot of people. So,
and the heat and humidity.
Yeah.
It's a perfect storm.
It's a perfect storm
down there.
I feel bad for people who work there.
Like, I mean, God bless a Walt mm-hmm. Disney World cast member mm-hmm. really doing the Lord's work. I personally wish I could pay all of you more for your tolerance and your patience.
The fact they're not just going around screaming, pulling their hair out. Like,
yeah.
Where's the applause button? There we go.
That's for you, Walt Disney World Resort cast members.
We salute you.
A salute to all cast members around the world, but mostly Walt Disney World cast members. Not saying that everyone else has it easy by any means. We love our Disneyland cast members, mm-hmm. but I do think there's very different
levels of guests.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that. And also I noticed now I just feel like we're bashing on. I love Disney World. I'll just say that. I love Disney World. I love my vacation. Want to mm-hmm. go back. But I will say Disneyland, I feel like because people, that's their home more.
Mm-hmm.
They keep it a little cleaner. Like even guests, like I notice as a general rule, don't leave stuff around. Disney World is just like, we can leave that there.
Yeah, there does seem to be, and I don't know if it's, you know, it could be that annual pass holder mentality, mm-hmm. but it does feel like home for so many mm-hmm. people. And it feels like something that is so respected mm-hmm. and treasured that I do think people treat Disneyland differently. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I mean, there's still jerks at Disneyland. Don't get me wrong. I've seen people yell at cast members, but
yeah.
It just seems a little more chill. Maybe that's just the California spirit.
Maybe. I mean, yeah.
So speaking of chill, this is a bad transition.
Oh, I'm ready for whatever you're going to throw at me.
So Tiffany and I, when we were in Orlando, went on the Backstage Magic Tour. It was both backstage and magical.
Correct.
Named.
Correct.
So you've done the Backstage Magic Tour before.
Yes, I did it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly when that was, mm-hmm. but it was probably like 2017, maybe I did it.
So not too long ago, but long enough that there were changes when mm-hmm. we did it. Not majority of the tour, but I think one or two things were different.
Yeah, there was a few different things. So we can, mm-hmm. when we can kind of like talk about our mm-hmm. tour and then wherever it was a little bit different.
And compare and contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
So first on that, so we met at Epcot at, what was it, 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't have phones we could have phones, but you couldn't take pictures the entire tour unless you were on stage. So just for people who don't know, on stage is like at the park in front of people. Backstage is where the cast members are. So we couldn't take any pictures backstage because we would ruin the backstage magic.
I mean, yeah, it is called backstage magic. It might as well just be called, you're not going to really be taking any selfies or videos on this tour. So don't worry about it.
It's called, and then they had this really like old digital camera from 2009. So there was a few spots they would take our pictures for us, like cool locations. And I was laughing because all the pictures made us look like it was like our 2005 yearbook picture.
Right. Yeah. It's so weird. But like, I understand that they don't want other people mm-hmm. to take photos on their phone because mm-hmm. they have to take them on their equipment because they have to get approved mm-hmm. before they can post them.
Mm-hmm.
And this tour is done by Adventures by Disney and not the parks itself. So there's a different group of cast members. They're mm-hmm. not like park ops cast members, kind of like how a guest relations would be in the park.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a different set of standards, and they have to get everything approved. And I mean, they're always going to be able to tell if something's in the background of something that shouldn't be.
Exactly.
But they, because they have to go in a review, they have to use their equipment. Why they use a camera that's so old.
I feel like, I'm like, did they
I
have,
don't know.
They have to get one that like could not possibly attach to the internet. Like, we have to get one that was invented before the internet became popular.
I guess, man. Honestly, I think it's just because only old people do this tour and they can't see the photo so clearly anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So basically, the median group of the tour was 90. There was a few 70-year-olds, one or two 50-year-olds, and then Tiffany and I.
There was like another guy that was, I feel like, our age group.
There was like a girl and like a couple and then another guy.
Yeah.
Who were probably under, they were definitely under 40.
When I did it, I was the youngest person by at least 20 years when I did it. It was the funniest day.
And it cracked me up that a lot of people didn't seem like diehard Disney fans.
No, this tour is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like the people that do this tour, I feel like there's a lot of like older people and they're there on their vacation and they just want to
they want to get away from their kids.
And I do think it's, and I mean, this isn't, I don't think this is a bad thing or anything, but I do think some people just have money and they're like, this is a cool, like special, like, let's do this backstage thing because we can afford it. And it's,
some people just like tours, I think. They just like to like, it is, even if you don't like Disney, it's an interesting look at something you don't normally get to see.
Yeah. And I think the tour does a really great job at catering to both of those people because they, you know, they'll talk about, they'll paint broad strokes for people that might not be super knowledgeable about Disney, but then they give you so much detail for those people that really are there and hungry for it.
There was two gentlemen there who were, I think they were both by themselves, but they made friends with each other at one point who, like, I feel like they felt like they knew everything about Disney, didn't necessarily know everything, but they felt like they did.
Yeah.
They were nice. They were lovely. But I just thought that was funny that, like, they were like, oh, like, they asked us a question about Maelstrom, and they're like, oh, it's the Swedish ride. And I was like, Maelstrom in Norway, you mean?
What?
Like,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, and it's one of those, it's like, I do think, you know, there's pretension when it comes to being a Disney fan.
Oh,
I'm one of those, 100%. I will own up to that as I'm looking at my two first place Minnie's Moonlit Madness medals.
We have multi Minnie's Moonlit Madness award winner, Tiffany Mink, sitting with me.
Dual decorated.
Dual, the champs. Reigning champion 2 years running.
So, yeah, there's definitely pretension in the Disney fandom, and that, I mean, that happens in every fandom though. So
you need to do the Orlando one, and then you can be like bi-coastal or North American champion.
Man, we tried and we got on the wait list because it fills up so quickly, and I was just like, dang it.
And they probably prioritize people who are actually work at that park.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a bummer that we didn't get in time, but next year we're coming. Mm-hmm. We're coast to coast.
You should do like Shanghai or Paris and be like international winners.
I'm like, I don't even know if that exists there, but.
Learn French, learn Mandarin.
Goofy, the one in Walt Disney World, aside tangent, the one in Walt Disney World is called Goofy's Mystery Tour. Mm. And just like the one here in Disneyland is very park focused for Disneyland. And that one would definitely be more park focused for Walt Disney World. So who knows how well we would even
do. Well, I remember I was asking, like, we were talking about the Swan and Dolphin. Now we're just going on a random side tangent. The Swan and Dolphin, and you, like, had memorized the heights of all the rides. Because you're like, I might need to know that.
The castles, yeah. The heights of the castles. Because we were talking about how Cinderella Castle was built at 189 feet. Because if it was any higher, that they would have to put the red line on it.
Yep. And then Everest was built at, how tall is that one?
Oh, I don't know the Everest height.
That one is a little taller, but it's still like, I think 1 or 2 feet under whatever the limit is. Like, let's say it's 200. I think it's like at 198.
Yeah.
Just amazing, those buildings. And Swan and Dolphin doesn't have a red ball on it. And I was trying to figure out why.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. So first we went to, on the tour, we got on a bus. And we drove backstage behind all the pavilions at Epcot. And that was cool because we got to see the, what do you call it?
We saw the back of the Living with the Land and the whole land pavilion.
What do you call that? The building where they-
The greenhouse?
Greenhouse, yeah. Saw the greenhouse, got to see all the, you know, just plain facades in the back. But it was still exciting because they're functional.
What was cool was seeing the huge backstage show building for the Ratatouille ride built in France.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very big ride.
Yeah, that show building is massive.
Even you could see it from the front and it looks pretty big, but from the back, it's like the TARDIS. It's just like- So much bigger on the inside.
Yeah. Which later we found out that you could see from the gondolas.
Yes, you could. Yes.
So cool. Yeah.
Skyway.
Skyway bucket. No, it's not Skyway bucket.
Skyliner.
There it is, a Skyliner.
The sexiest form of transportation.
Also not the gondolas. I'm fired. But I'm keeping my medal.
Forever. So then we got off the bus at American Pavilion, mm-hmm. and we went on stage, but it was still technically off stage because the World Showcase wasn't open yet.
Yeah.
Because this was like 9:30 in the morning, and I think it doesn't open till 11.
Yeah.
Because that park is so big, even if like you want it, like you, it would take you till 11 to even get back there anyway.
Facts. Yeah. I mean, most people do World Showcase to like eat. Mm-hmm. So how many people are trying to exactly. get back there? You know, it's... Mm-hmm. It's just budgetary.
It's just budgetary. Yeah. Yeah. It is true when like they were showing like that they literally put two models, Future World and World Showcase together. It does feel like that. It's like, oh, these are two complete parks mm-hmm. shoved together.
And that's a story mm-hmm. that they tell you on the tour mm-hmm. was they were trying to yeah. build more parks and mm-hmm. they were trying to get sponsorships, mm-hmm. but there was not going to be as much money mm-hmm. handing around. So they literally put two models together and
like done.
That was it. There it was.
And genius. Jasmine's favorite park was born. So then we went into, it's called American Adventure, right?
Yes.
I always want to call it like American, like a salute to all nations, but mostly America. But I know that's not it.
That's fine. I mean, we're getting a Sam Eagle barbecue place next to it. So it's like,
that's true. Which we now. Saw stuff for that on the tour.
Stay tuned.
So we went in and we got to go backstage, and it feels like it's underground a bit. Not underground, but it's definitely, we went in at a lower level and we got to see how so they are running the show, a rehearsal. And it's basically like all these little scenes, and like the scene will go up, perform, come down, go back. Like, I don't know how to best describe that.
Like if you haven't seen The Great American Adventure. I think it's called The Great American mm-hmm. Adventure.
Feifel's
Tale. It is a huge, huge mm-hmm. animatronic show. Mm-hmm. I mean, dozens and dozens of yes. animatronics. It was revolutionary mm-hmm. when it happened.
It's still impressive.
Yeah, it's still insane. Mm-hmm. So when we're backstage, we're like behind it's on a track. Mm-hmm. And there's almost like a pulley system. And yes. it's all housed underneath the audience. Mm-hmm. And then animatronics rise up, mm-hmm. the scene will happen, they'll rise back down, a little bit of a movie plays, and then the whole carousel slides
yeah.
back.
It is kind of like a movie, like a photo carousel or something. Like, yeah, it just kind of, and then it all pushes back forward and then the show mm-hmm. starts again.
Yeah.
So we got to stand probably like less than 10 feet away from the Benjamin Franklin and the Mark Twain animatronics.
And that, yeah, there's that yeah. Ben Franklin animatronic is crazy because he yes. walks upstairs, which yeah. was never never before done.
And they were just staring at us.
Yeah, seeing like just, I feel like I have a better understanding of Sarah's mm-hmm. deep, deep, deep fear of yes. animatronics being by mm-hmm. animatronics that you think are moving.
Yep, but they're
but
not.
But I don't know. And they're in the dark.
Yeah. We like, had to shine dark. A flashlight on them. They're in not pitch black, but like definitely in shadow.
They are not lit.
No, they are not lit.
They are lit by the flickering rear projection screen.
By the computer screen that said like 2017.
Yeah, that's one of like the other like cool mm-hmm. things is you really learn, because that's an original attraction mm-hmm. to Epcot. It's very mm-hmm. old. And there's like the computer systems are so
old.
Mm-hmm. And it's very much like, you know, they're very complex, and mm-hmm. animatronics have come such a long way. Computers have gotten a lot mm-hmm. smaller, but if it's not broken and it works perfectly, mm-hmm. why would you mess with it?
Exactly. But yeah, so the computer screen that runs the show, it said like the date was like February 9th, 2017. I was like, it's stuck in time.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's probably the last time it was updated. I'm like, no, it's become aware.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then we also got to touch an animatronic. Like, so they had like a separate, like disassembled animatronic that we got to touch. And then we got to touch the skin of an animatronic. I forget. Was it Mark Twain's skin?
We did see a Mark Twain. Yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah. It was just like mm-hmm. his face. It yeah. was like full on like Mrs. Mm-hmm. Doubtfire.
Yes.
Face.
Hello.
But Mark Twain.
So they had like the skeleton of the animatronic, and like you got to like touch its eyeballs, like really got to like get up in there. And then the skin was separate, and then you got to like pet the skin, and
pet the skin.
I was getting in there because I'm like, when am I going to get to do this again? So I was just like, get my germs on there.
I mean, mine is, and then you got sick.
And then I got sick from Mark Twain. That is true.
Thanks, Mark Twain.
Thanks, Mark Twain.
But yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool being able to see, because mm-hmm. as a guest, when do you ever see the back of an animatronic?
Exactly.
I mean, you never get to see backstage anyway, mm-hmm. but you know, even from a show standpoint, mm-hmm. so you get to see cool stuff like how costuming has to make specific clothing for these animatronics because they'll, you know, they have these repetitive motions and they have to be taken off a certain way and repaired. And you're seeing weird Velcro.
They like individually insert their hairs into their head. And like even the eyeballs, like it was creepy, like because they're just very realistic looking.
Yeah.
They're real eyeballs. No, I'm kidding. So that was a really fun part of the tour. I really enjoyed that just because it's that's that felt the most like backstage out of everything.
Yeah. And the beginning of that, before we even went in the show building around back out front, you know, they tell you how this show building is actually, I think it's 5 stories tall, but a colonial building can only be like they only could make it 3 stories. Like there was no, you know, the technology did not exist to make a building that high. So they really show you some really great examples of forced perspective and
like how enormous the doors really are.
Yeah, they're massive. And you don't think about it until you see someone actually standing right next to you, and you're like, why is this door 15 feet tall?
Were people back then giants?
So there was a little bit of change from the tour from when I went back when I went on it a few years ago, where we actually went into that show building and we were we got a lot of more information from the building itself and being able to see some stuff inside and some decorative things. And it was like, this was built to hide a speaker and this was built to, you know, it's all about the details. So that was a little bit, that was something that we didn't get to do on this tour that we did on when the tour was like old. I don't know when this change happened, but a small difference, but a difference.
It's interesting how it's, it's subtle differences. Like there was only one or two things I think we just completely didn't do or did do. But yeah, it's subtle. And it could depend a little bit on the tour guide or.
I mean, yeah, possibly. I mean,
or what's available that day.
Yeah, things are always going to be, you know, things will be under construction and things will have to change. And
it was weird in general because like you were watching people doing their job. And it's just like, you're like, hey, how's your day going?
Well, that I think it was pretty cool, the timing that we did it, because we got to see them building the smokehouse.
Yeah.
The new restaurant that's opening. So there was a ton of construction happening.
Yeah, because they were building the actual, like, smoking part behind everything. It was just cool. Like, oh, this is like, we're watching how the sausage is made, literally.
Like, the guy is a big smoker.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. And I mean, I know my barbecue as a girl from Tennessee. Like, I've seen smokers. I ain't never seen a smoker like that.
You'll be able to get your food.
I have the highest hopes now, knowing that that stuff's going to be smoked on site and you're going to be able to smell it.
Thank you, Sam. I'm hoping I get to go back next year. If I can start going to Orlando annually, I will be a very happy girl.
Yeah.
That would be at least once a year.
Yeah.
So then after that, we got back on the bus and it was great because they had like water and cookies and snacks on the bus. And so, so I forgot to say, so the bus, I forget. How many people would you say were on the whole tour?
I think there's like 32.
Yeah, 32. So not a
big
group.
Maybe 30, but.
And then we're split into two sides. So if you sit on the left, you're with one tour guide. If you sit on the right, you're on another with another. And so then you're split into groups of like 12, 15. I can't do math. And then.
I think 16. When I did it, it was never more than 24 a tour. And this, I think they said that there was 32. So more people.
Good. Yeah, we were like practically full on the bus. So then each place you'd go in kind of a different order because like tour group A would be seeing one thing and you'd be seeing another. And I think it's, it's just to watch people because you're going around a lot of dangerous machinery. Like if you would fall into, they have like a little area where the stage goes as it's moving. Like if you, I mean, obviously it moves slow enough, you could have been fine, but like you could have lost a limb if you really.
I mean, there's, you know, you're also in some spaces like that space. There, we couldn't have had more people in that space
because
You know, then you're getting people too close to the edge and too close to equipment. And
yeah, because there was a railing and we couldn't even stand within like probably 12 inches of that railing because it's just too dangerous. So then, okay, so we're on the bus. And then where did we do after that? We went to. Was it costuming after that?
Yeah, I think costuming is directly after that.
So we went to costuming where they make all the costumes and they're explaining how there's like different levels of costumes. So there's like cast member costumes, which are made offsite just because I think they were saying there was over a million cast costumes.
Yeah, like every cast member can have, I think they said five.
Yeah, five costumes.
Uniforms. And that's, I mean, those are just like park ops cast members.
And there's tens of thousands of people who work for Disney World. And then, I mean, I don't know how many, like 40,000? I forget they said. I should know this.
I can't remember. They did say it and it was just like, yikes.
Yeah. And then there's people who they work, like there's characters and then like they.
And then equity people.
Equity, yeah.
Which are like the performers and the parades, stage shows.
And Equity, they have costumes made for that performer specifically versus characters. It's just you fit the costume.
Yeah.
So we went and we saw where they really liked. So they had a sketch of Ariel as a bride, Belle and Cinderella as a bride. And it was this parade that didn't happen, or like these designs didn't happen. And they really liked those sketches. They were all over costuming.
Yeah. I was like, why am I seeing this Belle sketch everywhere?
And then I will call out our tour guide. He's like, well, Ariel didn't have a ball gown. And I looked at Tiff and I'm like, I'm no Ariel aficionado, but she has at least one or two.
She has two actual full. I mean, she has a full wedding dress, and it's like it's like we could have just made Ariel's wedding dress, y'all. And then her pink dress, obviously. And what I had heard was because Aurora has a pink dress, and they didn't want two princesses with pink dresses.
And Ariel's is just too fabulous.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know. But it's so cute because you go in. I don't know what scale these were to. Maybe like 1/16.
Yeah.
Maybe like 1/12
like
scale.
Like an American Girl doll size. Maybe a little bigger. Yeah.
You know, these caught like perfect little 2 feet tall Ariel, Cinderella, and Belle costumes. They were so cute.
They were so cute. And yeah, it was perfectly like made exactly how it would have been made. So it was like just seeing that detail. So tiny. It was so cute.
That's great. I'm like, I want that.
So then we went to the area where we walked past like the drafting area. And that was interesting because you're just like looking in these windows. You're like, hello, person working. Mm-hmm. How are you? And then like we went into.
We passed like an embroidery room.
Yes.
And then I think that's where we saw the highlight of what I think is costuming.
Yes. I agree completely. So we walked past. They had, I think, just like two examples, maybe even just one of costumes.
It was two, yeah.
That they had made. And the first one they showed us was, so the man stood in front. He's like, does anybody know what show this costume is from? And Tiff and I raise our hands. And it's from the Barbie show at Epcot. Well, yep. What's the official name of that?
I don't even know. I don't know. Barbie's birthday celebration?
Yeah, Barbie's
something.
Birthday.
Barbie's birthday?
For Barbie's birthday.
Yeah, Barbie had like a crazy show in the early 90s in Epcot.
Mm-hmm. And it was the best. And I was I went to Epcot when I was 10 years old and I wanted to see that show. And they're like, oh, sorry, it's not around anymore. Devastated.
You saw the picture that I posted with Barbie, right?
I was so jealous.
I have a picture. Did you see, like, I have a picture of the woman in that dress in the show.
Oh my gosh.
From like my personal collection of photos from a kid.
So they were showing the original sketch for this one costume and then what the costume actually looked like. And it was during the fashion show, if you're familiar with this great show. And it was like kind of, I don't know if you could call it like leopard print. It was like orange and black.
And it was supposed to be like, she's supposed to be like a monarch butterfly, I think.
Okay. That makes more sense. And she has a feather boa, I believe.
Yeah. And then the costume next to her, they like redid it because I think they were like, it's not bright enough, not colorful enough or whatever. And then they used it. Orange and black one anyway.
And I think originally it was like a cat suit more. And then they were saying that wasn't really Barbie. So they made it more of like a dress. Yeah. And this is 1995, so it was very of the time period in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's great.
No one else cared except Tiffany and I.
Nope.
We're just like, it's like we saw Tom Cruise, like the most famous person in the world.
Nope. And even when we were like, who's seen this show? And we're like, I was like, I've seen it. And he was like, not on YouTube. And I'm like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Here. I've seen this. I have a photo with Barbie and Skipper, like, sir.
Blazed into my memory, sir.
Sir. Offended.
She has the Barbie offended.
I think you just thought that we were like children.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate when people think I'm younger. I mean, I guess like, comparatively, cool, yeah.
We cool. do look I'll younger. Take it. Fine. I'll take it. Well, when we're on a tour with like 60-year-old people.
Yes.
It's fine.
With Barbara and her friends.
Because Jeff is hitting the links. Anyway.
So in that room, I was a little disappointed because they had animatronics all along the wall from Great Movie Ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wasn't staring at them because I'm like, oh, clearly we're going to go past them. They're going to talk about them. No, after we saw the Barbie costume, we left.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed because they had John Wayne. They had one of the ladies from the beginning from the Busby Berkeley musical part. And I just wanted to go see them and we didn't go see them. And I was very sad.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing.
I remember them mentioning them on our tour, but we didn't go in that. We didn't walk on that side of the wall either. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, at least I wish we could have just like, I should now. I wish I'm like, I would have looked at all of them but then I was looking at the glory of the Barbie costume.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Can't, you know, beggars can't, it's you win either way.
Yeah.
So then we left there and we went into the main costuming area where they're actually sewing.
And that room is amazing.
That was amazing. There's probably what, like 20 people sewing, maybe even more than what we saw.
Probably. And you can see, like, there was different, like, there was a section just for hats.
Yes.
A section just for, I can't even remember.
For some reason, they were all making graduation robes.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
What is that for?
I don't know. I'm like, does it go under something? Is it not? Is it for a choir? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we got to go, and they had, like, a Cinderella costume on display. They showed the giant cutting machine they had, which freaked me out. So it's a machine where they, like, put a giant pattern on it, and it cuts out the fabric with, like, lots of little scissors and knives and whatever.
It's like a Cricut, except it's, like, 20 feet long.
Yes, it's huge. And it was just like, what if you were stuck under there?
You're dead.
Yeah. I mean,
and
also,
now you're a beautiful Disney costume.
Beautiful Disney costume. And you'd also have to be, like, an inch thick.
You're already dead because you were a pancake.
Yes. And then we took a picture. I think it was our first picture in front of a wall of, was it fabric or thread?
Thread. All the thread colors.
And it was beautiful. And it had, like, creative costuming written on the wall. And then we got to touch costumes. So they had, like, they had a huge wall, and there was a small section that we were allowed to, like, pick up and touch. I wanted to put on the mini costume because it could almost fit me.
So good.
It was so cute. It was the purple one with, like, little swirls on it.
It's the one that she meets in the circus area where Dumbo is in Magic Kingdom.
It was so cute. And then they what else did they? I remember they had a lot of really
Jack
good
Skellington.
Ones. Yes.
They had
the detail on it was amazing.
Yeah, it's like
amazing.
It's like corduroy, except it's satin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's wires in it, and it's neat.
It's just beautiful.
They had an embroidery sample from Beast costume.
Mm-hmm.
They had that dope Spectro Magic jacket or vest.
They had, I think, from one of the princess restaurants, they had some sort of like maiden type outfit.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, this is what the cast member in this area wears, which is still like, you know, they're still
very
cool.
There wasn't anything too, like, we didn't get to touch a Snow White costume.
No.
The closest we got to was Minnie.
That Minnie one,
which
Jack.
And that was heavy. I was surprised how heavy the costumes were.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Like, there are snaps on the arms. I'm like, oh, is that just to make cool designs or just depending on the arm? I don't know. Mysteries. But so then after that, we left and then we got to see costumes from the show at Animal Kingdom.
Yes. The Rivers of Light.
Yes.
It was the sample Rivers of Light show for like the two main people that are hosting it.
And they were saying that they 3D printed a lot of things that looked like leather. So if you actually looked up close, it wasn't actually leather, but it looked really realistic.
Yeah, that still blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. And they had stuff from Spectro Magic on the wall, and I was pointing that out to you.
Yeah.
It was like, look. So then we left there, and then we went to Animal Kingdom, I think, right?
Yes.
And then so first we ate. So we went backstage. So we actually walked through Pandora, and that was my first glimpse of Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting. We went back later and rode everything. It was great. But we walked through Pandora, and then we went to Tiffin's, and we had a delightful lunch.
The lunch was great. I've never eaten at Tiffin's at all. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit bougie. And I'm always like, there's too many shows for me to do in Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend an hour and a half like eating here. But it was amazing.
Yes.
And we had a special menu that was made just for that tour.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got like an exclusive Tiffin's experience, which was cool.
And you found a picture of Joe Rohde with a puppy in his pocket.
I look at it like once a week.
And people in the group chat for our Patreon were asking me about that. And I was like, it's on her Twitter. Everybody go look at it.
Yeah, here he is. It's like open for a surprise. Joe Rohde's got a puppy in his pocket. No, I think I did it like, Rohde's got a pocket, got a pocket full of puppies.
Oh, and then when we left, they gave us like a little postcard essentially of a drawing that Joe Rohde did. And it was a treasure that I have up on my wall in my office now.
I know. I've got to find a good space in here in my office for
it. It's beautiful because, of course, he can draw. He can do everything. And I think he was in the parks when we were there. So he was in Orlando when we were there. So I'm just going to assume when we were in Animal Kingdom, he was there too.
You can sense the energy.
Yeah. He was just blessing us all with his air, just breathing in the air that he let out of his lungs.
the lunch now was very different from when I went on the tour previously. Mm-hmm. Because previously you went to Wilderness Lodge and you ate at the Whispering Canyon and you got all you could eat barbecue and it was family style and it was a hoot and delicious. So it's kind of hard for me to say which dining experience was better, honestly, because I think they were both really lovely. Mm-hmm. This was a lot less food.
Yeah, small, like fancy people portions.
But... Mm-hmm. But yeah, both of them were great and wonderful and different in their own ways.
And we sat at a table with a couple from Paraguay.
Paraguay.
And I think they were there because they wanted to get away from their kids. I was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Their kids were in Hollywood Studios and they were like, wait, they're not going to ride the new Star Wars ride. And we're just like, oh man, y'all don't know.
You could have had it all. And then the gentleman was really nice. Tiff got a coffee and he bought her coffee for her.
Yeah, that was
That was nice.
Everything is included for your meal.
Yes.
You do get like, you get your plate and you get a dessert and you get a drink of your choice. But then I also wanted a coffee because it was like a little bit, was it raining that day? It was just cold.
It was cold. I was probably just tired. Sprinkled at some point. We were up early. Yeah. Like, I think that was your first, you had gotten in at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah. It was on like 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And then found out I was doing that tour that morning. So
it's like, surprise, you're going on the tour.
Can I have a coffee, please? And there would have been no other opportunity to get a coffee. Yeah. So,
because you hadn't discovered our Keurig yet in our room, I think, until the next day.
Well, I think we didn't just have time.
Yeah. We just like woke up and it was like, surprise.
God bless.
So then we went to, so we ate there. It was delightful. I mean, as someone who likes to eat, I do wish we had a little more food, but like, it was fine. It was delicious.
It was good.
And then we went to, got on the bus again, went on the other side of the park, and we got to see the control room for the water parade.
The Rivers of Life.
Rivers of Life parade. And we got to see all the floats in the water. And then we got to go into the control room, which was probably the best part of the tour.
This was so interesting.
Yeah.
We did not do this. We went to textile services, which is the fancy word for laundry.
Ah.
Instead. I still don't know why we did that. It was very whatever. So this was, and this is coming from someone who does not really care for Rivers of Light. I feel like Rivers of Light is a very mediocre show, but I have such a greater understanding of the achievements that show has done from a tech standpoint, and I have a greater appreciation for the show.
Yeah, because there's nobody in the floats. It's all controlled from this control room. It's all done via like GPS. And oh, and then I remember they were saying the water that like sprays up has been filtered, so it's not just the water from.
I don't know why that was like the that was like my favorite takeaway.
That the water is like purified in the float.
The water that they project the images on, just like how they do in Fantasmic, here is like filtered so much that it's so clean, so because that's the water that can get on people.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Like, you could drink it. It's not drinking water, but they're saying like it is of level of drinking it.
It's, I don't
know. And we actually, that part of the tour was led by a gentleman who, I forgot what his title was, but he actually like was one of the people who ran the parade. So you could ask him anything and he knew it.
Yeah.
And they were saying like they've only had the entire time they've been doing the show, they've only had the perfect show where nothing went wrong like 10 times or like 17 times.
There was like four. No, it was like a single digit.
Oh yeah. It was like really low. And they're even saying like one of the people asked like, okay, I was watching the show last night. What went wrong? And he's like, one of the floats went offline and like we had to basically like pull it off.
And the guy's like, I never knew.
Yeah, you never. It was just beautiful. And there was, so it's all these people at computer stations. There's it looks like what you'd see in a movie for like, oh, we have to like stop this terrorist. Like it was just like a wall full of TVs.
Yeah.
Like it looked like a control room. And each TV had like different areas. They had like really high definition cameras of different areas of the park. You asked a question. I remember you were really excited to ask.
We were leaving.
Yeah.
And, well, I asked how long, because the floats are also battery operated. So I was asking like how much battery is drained for those floats that are remote controlled. And they said they can get through, I think, like three shows and it's still fine, which is great.
Yeah, because they had on the screen how much charge and every battery was at 100%, but one was like at 99%. And I think he told us why.
Well, I mean, they run off like standard lithium batteries and lithium has like a half-life anyway. So, you know.
I really wanted to jump on one of the – I mean, I didn't. I just wanted to jump on one of the floats.
When we were leaving, Rivers of Light was supposed to debut on Earth Day years ago, and it got pushed back an insane amount of time. Like, it got so delayed that they had to make another show temporarily, and it was like this weird Jungle Book singing show. So as we're leaving, I was like, listen. It's like, what was it that – like to cause the big delay. And I didn't want to ask it in front of everybody to be like, so I know the show like didn't work for a long time.
Was it your fault?
So like, what was it? And it was something about the communication with the GPS was so sophisticated. And they said like the GPS for those floats is more accurate than the GPS on our car.
Yeah. It has
like an inch and a half.
Yeah,
it can tell you where a float is.
And they said for your car, it's what, like 10 feet?
Yeah.
And that was just amazing that, like, they can know if it's off by 2 inches, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
It was just, like, it was so wild. Cool. And it was, yeah, it was a room full of people, and that's just their job all day, is they just get ready for that parade, put on the show, go home, next day, do it all over again. This is like a very techie crew. This was like, I'm used to doing like theater. This was like theater crew type people.
Yeah.
But grownups.
I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone wears black.
They're all wearing black. They all looked really cool. They're sophisticated. Yeah. I feel like our, the guy who like did our speech, like he's seen some stuff. It's like, I've had to wrestle an alligator out of the float.
Yeah. That seemed like a very cool crew to be a part of, like a very specific. And those are those types of roles that you don't always think about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they are really making magic happen and you know, a very specific type of way. Mm-hmm.
With like a specific type. Oh, and then Tiff, who ran past you when we were backstage at Animal Kingdom?
Oh my God. We are. It was like, I like truly like felt embarrassed by this moment, but we're standing, we're not in the control room yet. We're standing kind of out on this dock and we're seeing all of the floats docked and they're kind of giving an overview of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then this woman kind of goes by us like really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, that is Dory.
And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Because she was very like, I'm sorry. Excuse me. And I was like, it's Dory from Finding Nemo.
And yeah, she was on One Day at Disney.
Her episode of One Day at Disney just happened. I've seen her as Dory at least like 8 times. And I'm like, oh my God, there she goes. I'm going on break. What's happening? And I wish I had said something in the moment because she probably would have been like, what the heck? And the whole group would have been like, you're a freak. I'm like, I know.
I accept this happily. So the whole tour, there was a lot of walking. But then like we got opportunities to sit sometimes, which was nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's an 8-hour tour. So
yeah,
sit where you can, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what my dad always told me. Like, if you're ever at something where you're going to be standing all day, anytime you can, sit down. So then after Animal Kingdom, we went to – did we go to Magic Kingdom after that?
No, we go to my favorite part, Concept Shops.
Oh, Concept Shops.
Central Shops.
Central Shops. Oh, yeah. My gosh. So we go to Central Shops, which feels like it's like in its own bunker. Like, you go past –
Yeah, I mean, you go kind of like back behind Magic Kingdom, and it's – you are in the thick of what are backstage roads.
Yes.
And they're just huge warehouses, like just massive, huge, insane warehouses. Yeah.
And, it still has like the Disney writing on it. So it still has like the touches of magic where it can. So where we went to the first building was where they repair all the ride vehicles. So any ride you could think of, there was at least one ride vehicle there, and they were explaining, it made me feel really safe how, they basically like, let's say this ride has 10 ride vehicles. 9 of them will be working. 1 of them will be being repaired. They completely take it apart, put it back together, repaint it, do everything, and then put that one back and then take another one off, completely redo it, whether it needs it or not. They just.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just like I mean, they will scan ride vehicles in ultrasound machines to see if there's any internal damage or cracks. And as far as like screws, bolts, any of those tiny little things just get thrown away and full on replaced.
Yeah. And they, no matter what, completely take it apart and put it back together.
Yep. Even if it's working perfectly.
And they were saying that there was, they talked to one of the gentlemen who worked there and he was saying like, my grandkids go on this ride. So I assume any ride they're going to go on this. So I make sure it's safe enough for them. So I was like, oh, that's Disney. Disney, they care.
Yeah, it's like so safe. I'd be curious what that process is like for other theme parks. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like for liability reasons, you have to have a pretty significant safety, you know, set a chain of command. But I'm wondering if it is the same or if Disney is a little more thorough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just feel, like the fact that they, no matter what, like take it completely apart, put it back together, replace everything. Like, that's the Disney touch.
There it is.
So we saw ride vehicles. We saw one of the, like, I don't know if you call it a dragon, the thing from Avatar, Flight of Passage. I saw one from Peter Pan. They said that the most common vehicle to be back there was from Speedway because kids just crash into each other all day. So there was a bunch of, like, I know it's not Autopia, but I call it Autopia, Autopia cars back there. There's
so many.
So many. Like, at least every other one, there was probably one. There's, like, 8 or 9 at least.
There was a
they had one from Spaceship Earth.
Barnstormer?
Barnstormer, yeah. You were the only one. You knew every single one.
I couldn't place the Spaceship Earth piece, and I was so mad because I'm like, I know what that is. Because it wasn't even an entire vehicle. It was just the weird teal part in between the vehicles.
And that's a ride you really don't notice the vehicles because there's just so many. It's just a constant stream of them.
Yeah, there's nothing like, there's nothing unique about them. Yeah.
So then from there, we went into... Do we go to animatronics next or do we go to like where they're doing the topiaries?
No, we did. The animatronic part was first.
Okay. So we went to where they had animatronics.
Not the animatronic room. That is a room that you cannot enter.
Mm-mm.
So this was more about, what is the name of this room?
There was only like five in there. There wasn't that many animatronics in there.
They do. So it's like skin. Mm-hmm. It's just the things that go on the mm-hmm. outside of a yeah. thing.
There was one. There was a lot of Jungle Cruise stuff in there.
Yeah.
A lot of Jungle Cruise. Like they showed us the mold for an elephant.
I think it's called molding.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think sense. It's something yeah. like this is where they make like the mold for like mm-hmm. whatever. So
they had a gazelle in there. Nothing like was you didn't see like a loose animatronic. It was just all the skins in there. And there was nothing like too revealing of the magic. Like there wasn't one with its skin half on. Like they all were.
No. Yeah.
Pretty dressed up. That part really smelled of paint.
That part was, yeah that part smells so good.
And then I think we also went into the paint shop and they showed us all the different paint options that they have, all the colors they can mix and match.
Yeah, we kind of like walked by it and there's, mm-hmm. you know, a crazy catalog. Mm-hmm. So every paint is always going to be the same. Yep. And you could see a transport bus, mm-hmm. like one of the Disney, like mm-hmm. big transport shuttles for the resort being painted. You look through a creak of a door. But
Tiff is good at that. She's like, oh, what's going on in there? Okay. Mm-hmm. You caught stuff that even I didn't catch where you're like, oh, did you see that like little emblem right there? Like that's for this.
That was, I was living that in that moment. Cause so we had, this is where the central mm-hmm. shops kind of changed. So for me, after we did this molding room with all like mm-hmm. the latex and the silicone and all that ends up being like skin on animatronics, we went into a sculpting room mm-hmm. and I got to see they were sculpting the Thor and Odin and Loki things that were going to be put in the Norway Pavilion.
Which they're there.
Yeah, now they're like on display, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But we saw them getting sculpted 2 months before it ever got announced.
That's so cool.
So that was amazing. Mm-hmm. But this new tour now, we mm-hmm. went into like scenic room.
And they were working on they weren't real topiaries, but like they had Remy. It's for Epcot.
For Flower and Garden Festival mm-hmm. in springtime in Epcot, which mm-hmm. is an amazing festival. Highly recommend it.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
And yeah, they were showing they had topiaries and mm-hmm. they had like, they do the scavenger hunt type thing mm-hmm. where the bees are hiding in topiaries. Yes. So you could like see a bunch of mm-hmm. bees over in the background.
They had a lot of stuff from Splash Mountain. Basically anything that was being refurbed, that's what you saw most. Like all the water rides had lots of stuff.
Mm, yeah.
I think this is the season where they redo all the water rides. So I saw like frogs from Splash Mountain.
The frogs were either from Splash Mountain or from Little Mermaid.
Oh,
I don't know. They were from one of them.
Various frogs.
But that's where
we
saw. I was like, what is this? And it's mm-hmm. it's probably, I don't know. I'm looking in the room for something. The diameter of this candle that you can't see.
Yeah.
Maybe only like 4 inches in diameter.
Yeah. Maybe like a bigger coaster.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. the size of a cookie.
Yes.
A great chocolate chip cookie.
Yes, a great cookie.
A coaster is way more descriptive. And I like walked all the way up to the mm-hmm. table because we were a little bit further away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, Jasmine, do you see this? And it's an emblem of artwork that has not been released yet. Mm-hmm. So there were two pieces for the new Sam Eagle restaurant mm-hmm. coming to the American Pavilion. One of them was like a 3D emblem of artwork that has been released. And mm-hmm. then one of them is a round seal mm-hmm. looking thing that has not been released.
I think out of everything, that's the only like exclusive thing we saw. Everything else is like mm-hmm. wasn't like a secret. That was the only thing that and I don't think anyone else noticed it except Tiffany, and then she pointed it out to me and I got to see it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was like paying attention on it. Because there's you know, there's a Remy that's like mm-hmm. 6 feet in front of you currently being painted, and mm-hmm. he looks like grass, and you're just like, wow.
And
that's
like
cool.
There's an Anna right next to him, and then there's just this little like medallion thing this guy's just working on.
Just laying on. They weren't even like touching it.
Right.
He's painting. It was just like mm-hmm. laying on a table. I'm like,
it's just drying.
What's that?
Is that Sam the Eagle? A salute to all barbecue, but mostly American.
A salute to all sculptures in the scenic department, but mostly Sam Eagle.
So that was the highlight right there, seeing that kind of unreleased artwork and trying to figure out what that was going to go on.
Yeah, because the size of it mm-hmm. isn't super big to mm-mm. be like, where would this go on like a scenic mm-hmm. thing?
Like, is this going to be on every table? Like, I don't know. It was just, it wasn't that big.
I don't know where it's going to, I don't know where mm-hmm. that's going to live. And it feels like it did not belong in that room.
Yeah. Someone just left it there for us to spot. There was one point where they had like an animatronic head in a box. Was it from Pirates or was that Mr. Lincoln?
I don't remember.
Yeah, there was one part where we were standing.
Oh, so that was in the molding room because they were showing us like the different types of skins that can go on animatronics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's like one that's like a really thick, almost more resin-like, and then
for outdoors
latex, and then like silicone, and you could feel the difference between.
And they basically, one was strictly for outdoors, like Jungle Cruise. One was for inside animatronics, but that move a lot. And then one was for like the more delicate, really fancy animatronics.
Yeah.
And that was cool. We got to touch them all. Got to spread my germs around. So then after that, for some reason, this whole part kind of blends in my head, like what order things were. Then did we go to the other side and see the rooms with the full animatronics?
Yeah, I think after that you go past, like you can't go through the threshold of the audio animatronic door.
Yeah.
But they have
to stand in front of it.
Yeah, they have a very, very cool setup in the area in front of it.
So they had like this one Native American lady that was kneeling, and at one point she was facing one way, and then at one point she was facing the other way, and I didn't see who moved her, and it freaked me out.
She was on like a furniture dolly. Yeah. So she was mobile. We just don't know how or she if moved herself. It happened.
And then there was something else next to her. There was something, was it a hippo or something from Jungle Cruise that was like to our left? Behind us was like butterfly wings.
There was a trunk. It was an elephant trunk that had no skin on it. Because you could just see like these weird discs and stuff.
Yes. And then there was like butterfly wings behind us.
The wings were, which was weird that they would even be in that area, but they were from, they're the Maleficent guys that are like these weird bird things from Festival Fantasy Parade at the end of that parade. I think
someone was just cleaning something up and it ended up there.
Yeah.
There's lots of like curtains up too, so you can't see past things. So I'm like, that's where the magic happens. Those are the secret things.
Yeah. I remember going when we were looking at like the skin before we get the skins of stuff. I remember that was part of our tour where we would see they would be like actually we would see them doing the screws and all this stuff from the rides. Because I remember seeing a toolbox, like these just like rows and rows of toolboxes. And there's like labels, very specific. And it was like this cart has all the pieces you need for a Peter Pan ride vehicle. And I remember specifically seeing that last time and not on
I
this
feel
one.
Like this time around it was very like they didn't want you to see anything they didn't want you to see. There was nothing.
Yes.
Like except for the Sam the Eagle stuff, which really wasn't in the scheme of things like that big of a revelation. Like there's nothing like that you're going to see because I guess, you know, because blogger culture.
Yep.
They don't want somebody announcing something before like, oh, we saw, you know, in the Ratatouille ride, they're going to have a big explosion that's not in the Paris version or something.
Yeah, I mean, I could have went on and talked about those Thor statues that I saw being carved.
Exactly.
And they weren't going to be announcing those forever. Mm-hmm. So it definitely did feel different. Like it was a different energy.
Like there was lots of cool stuff you got to see, but there was nothing unannounced yet.
Yeah.
So then we got to go to the animatronic room, and because Tiff is awesome, she volunteers me to operate both animatronics. So you push a button, and I got to make the toucan in front of the animation door toucan, and then I got to operate the polar bear from Maelstrom, which was one of my favorite animatronics.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, that was the part where the guy's like, they're like, do you know what ride this from? And he's like, the Swedish pavilion. I was like, Maelstrom.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, it's set up and there's, like, one button you can push. And there's definitely, like, a pre-programmed thing it does.
And I was the only one who got to operate both.
You did. Yeah, we got a special treat.
And that we got a picture in front of the polar bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the highlight of the whole, like, we could go home now. Like, that
we're
was
done.
Like, yeah, we're done.
Wrap it up.
They have cool moments like that where, it makes up for the fact that you're like, oh, I don't get to see all the Guardians things that they're building right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that would have been cool, but I understand why they have to keep that hidden from public.
I mean, you know that they are working on Guardians.
Yes.
You know they're doing Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like the Ratatouille stuff is, it only isn't so proprietary because that ride already exists.
Exactly.
But you know that they're like working on Mary Poppins stuff. Yeah. There's Moana so many stuff. Things. Yeah. There's so many things coming to Epcot that we don't have details on yet that I totally know why they have curtains up. Like, there's
Tiffany
too much
just
happening.
Got lost. No kidding.
I'm like, what's happening?
Oh, no. Is this a rocket animatronic?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was a real raccoon.
Is Chris Pratt handcuffed back here for another pre-show video? What is this?
I'll just take him. He's going to win. It's him and the actor from Star Wars, the redheaded one.
And Harry Potter. Yeah.
So they're like neck and neck of like who's going to be on the most rides. So with this new Guardians one, it's going to be Chris. But
if he's in a pre-show video, he might not be in a pre-show video.
But if he wants to keep his title, he needs to do it.
He has to because they're tied right now.
And he needs to have an animatronic of him made because that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
So Hux has an animatronic of himself.
He's definitely ahead as far as an actor having theme park ride representation.
So he needs to join another franchise and then get on that ride as well.
A matter of time.
I don't understand why actors like, I don't want to be on the ride. I'm like, you will live. That's how you live forever is be a part of a ride.
You were immortalized.
Yeah, not a movie.
Fine.
Lots of people are movies. How many people have an animatronic of them?
Exactly.
Not many.
John Boyega does, though.
Yeah, he does. He has two.
It's gotta be weird for him, right?
Yeah, ride. Exactly. Like, and he can go and be like, that's me sitting, that's me standing. And I'm finally gonna get to go. I'm taking a day off work and I'm gonna go not this next week, but the week after to Disneyland and finally get to go on Rise of Resistance.
I wish you the best of luck.
I'm so excited. I'm going on a Wednesday because I heard Wednesday's the least. I think by the time this comes out, I'll have already gone on it is the least. I'm strategically planning.
I mean, it's getting easier and easier to get boarding passes. Yeah. So.
And I've like talked to, you know, Cameron's been on it like 9, 11 times.
I know, that's crazy.
Kyle has been on it a couple of times. So I'm going with people who like know what they're doing. Yes. And then of course, with my luck, I'll be like, in boarding group 110.
No, I think you'll be fine. Okay. You'll be fine.
Top 10. Okay, so then after that shop, we went to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that we went to the Utilidors. I found that really exciting, but it is basically like if you are an employee, this is what your day is.
Yeah, the Utilidor part is interesting. If you don't know what that is, that's the fancy word for the tunnels, like infamous tunnels under Magic Kingdom.
That are really far underground. I think, they're 14 feet underground?
Yeah, it's a full story and then like enough room for pipes and all this other stuff like above it.
And it was creepy and it's pretty big. It's not claustrophobic. That was full of action. People were like, oh, did you see characters? I said, no, but I saw lots of people with carts.
Yeah, you can see characters on the Keys to the Kingdom tour. Mm-hmm. You go into a different section of the tunnels. Mm-hmm. But for this section, you do like the square that is Main Street.
Yeah, you're just under Main Street. We saw there was like an executive tour going on. And we were like following behind them. I'm like, ooh, what are you guys important? Like, can you tell me about the Guardians ride?
Yeah, it's crazy down there because down there it's like, I mean, it is busy.
Yeah.
And people are hustling.
You have to stand against the walls because carts could go by. There's announcements saying like, oh, from blah, blah, blah to blah, 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 they're going to be moving like this cart along. Or not a cart, like a thing carrying things on it. I don't know what you'd call it.
Like bubble wands.
Or like a truck with like stuff on it carrying from A to B.
Yeah.
Food, that's mostly, I just saw people selling like carts that were mobile. And then like cast members like leaving for the day. They had a wall of pins and there was one gentleman who collected pins and he wanted to trade.
Oh my God. I thought he was like, that man was going to lose his dang mind. He could not. He's like, I got that one. It's like, oh my God.
And he was really like, can they trade?
Yeah, because he was like, they don't even have the chasers on these boards. Because it's all the cast member exclusive pins that the cast members trade. So that's cool.
I'm surprised he didn't try to steal one.
Honestly.
And then this is the point you and I cried because they had a picture of Walt Disney World opening and they had Roy.
With Roy.
And then you and I started talking about like Roy and having Mickey with him. And then we're just like crying underground at Disney World.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to really have a good cry in Magic Kingdom, why is it, you know, might as well be underneath in the tunnels.
Oh, and then they were saying that about the urban legend that the castle lowers down in case of a hurricane. And they're like, as you can see, it does not.
That's my favorite legend I've never heard. I was like, that's amazing.
I've heard that one. Or I heard that they can disassemble it in case of a hurricane. It's like, no, it's just made of concrete. Like,
crazy.
It's built to last.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm going to pretend like I went back there and I saw where the castle gets lowered down.
I think the weird thing about down there is like you can see like cast member lockers and some of the lockers are clear, which is weird.
And I saw like, oh, that person has the new sparkly red mini backpack.
Yeah. Like it's super interesting and cool to do from a tour and a guest aspect, but I can't even imagine being a, you know, like I'm trying to like get to a break room and these people are in my way. I'm trying to get to and from, you know, point A to point B at work. And like, here's Barbara and her shuffleboard group again. And then these two adult daughters, I guess.
just staring at everything,
seeing in my way,
seeing if they can see under doors.
Excuse me and my cart of bubble wands, ma'am.
And then we saw the Disney jail. That's not, no, I'm kidding. The Disney jail. That's the dungeon of the castle.
Yes,
I want to start that rumor.
Oh my god,
we saw Goofy down there. And then that was the end of the tour.
Uh-huh.
And then I just remember we drove past the backside of water. No, the backside of Space Mountain, which you can see from the Contemporary, and being like, why don't they clean this? It's so dirty back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. And the sight lines are not very good at Disney World. Now I'm just going off on this. Like that, like you can see like this from like you can see outside the park. I don't think they have a berm around it.
No, they definitely don't have a berm.
And then like, oh, from Tomorrowland, I can see like I'm sitting in Tomorrowland, I'm looking at Fantasyland.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a free-for-all, yeah, man.
Well, they did what they could.
You know, like, Disneyland was built very specifically, and, you know, the Disney Magic Kingdom was built as a machine to accommodate so many people, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I love it. It's fine. Yeah, I genuinely love it.
It's really, I like, it's a very I mean, Epcot's feeling. My favorite park. I love Epcot.
Yeah.
Epcot's magical. We got to use like a lot of onstage bathrooms. So like, even though we didn't have a ticket to Magic Kingdom, we got to go use the bathrooms by Space Mountain.
Yeah. I was like, can we just like bolt? Cause the parade's coming. Can we just go?
I kept thinking that. I'm like, how easy would it be for us to just like walk away right now?
I don't know. I mean, they definitely were counting and we have like name tags. Yes. They'd be able to like check that we weren't there. But then I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah. Like if we could just like sneak off like, okay.
Cause you don't have to have a park ticket to do this tour.
Exactly. So once we're done, like you don't have a park ticket. This is just to go and see all the backstage magic. Step into the magic. So that's the end of the tour. They take you back to Epcot. And so, what were the major differences between that you did, anything you haven't mentioned between that and when you did it?
Honestly, really just the textile services, laundry, and the Rivers of Light were the biggest things. And then lunch location was different.
I would have liked your lunch location more, but I'm glad I would have gladly traded that to do Rivers of Light
Rivers of Light.
Rivers of Light. That seemed more fun than seeing the laundry.
Yeah, the laundry's dumb. I don't know. It's like, you know, they go in this whole thing like, we have so many resorts and like, think about every guest and every guest, here's the towel and here's all the towels. Like the most interesting part of textile services, which you don't even have to do it on the tour anymore because I will tell you the most interesting thing, is this is where Pete Doctor got the inspiration from for how the Monsters, Inc. doors were going to operate because textile services works because they have, there's so many things that physically have to get washed and so many like procedures that has to go through, like the process that they carry these things in really big bags on these tracks overhead, exactly on the same tracks that these doors go through. And it legitimately looks the same.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that's where Pete got, why did Pete Doctor know what the textile services building looked like? Maybe he did this tour. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe he just had a lot of laundry and he conned someone into doing it at textile services.
Yeah. It's, and we like, there's a photo op from textile services that you do where you like pretend to be in a giant laundry bag and it's just like, what is this? What is this part of the tour? And everyone is all, honestly, everyone on the tour is like, what? Like, where are we? And why are we? So it definitely felt like a filler. I mean, I'm sure somebody finds it interesting.
Yeah. Somebody's like, I'm all about this.
But yeah, the Rivers of Light was so much more interesting.
That was really cool. Even though like that's not like the best parade in the world for a lot of people, it was still really cool to see that. And it's probably one of the more technologically advanced systems for a parade.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not done a backstage tour of other shows, but
I would bet just because there's no people operating on
it. Yeah. Knowing what we learned, I'm like, I've never heard of this like anywhere.
No.
I mean, I've not done a lot of deep dives into show and parade tech.
Yeah.
Like the mechanics. I mean, that's, you know, that's fair to say, but
I mean, Electrical Light Parade, they just like send it on its way. There's like Godspeed.
Just like, ugh.
Good luck.
It's 9:30. Can we stop? Can we stop this water break, water pageant?
So what would you want to see on your ideal backstage magic tour? Like what's something we didn't do that you're like, I wish, even if it's not realistic. I would love to see where the cast members get ready, like the ones who are the princesses.
Oh my gosh.
That would be fun.
I would love to see a control room for an attraction.
Like if you could go in the control room of Space Mountain.
Like, yeah, I want to see like what that would be cool to see what that looks like and the cameras and stuff looks like. And I would love to walk on an attraction.
That would be like if you could walk on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Like, and I, you can't do that during operating hours, obviously, but I know like forever ago, there used to be a Haunted Mansion tour and you,
my dream.
That was like part of the thing. It was very short lived. It was a very long time ago.
Yeah, but you could walk in the ballroom scene, and that's it my was dream.
Something crazy. Yeah, I wish that there was some sort of opportunity, something like that. I think that would be the biggest thing, to be honest.
I would have loved to like spend more time in the Utilidors, like really just like get in there.
Oh, one place I feel like we should go, which I don't think that there's a reason we couldn't, is they have a huge warehouse, like as big as Central Shops, where they do all the things. That's just holiday decoration.
Oh, yeah. We drove past that.
And I, yeah, that could, that should be its own dedicated tour.
That would be so cool.
And I think people, like, I guess because I'm just like spitballing, but maybe they don't do it because people will want to do it when it's close to Christmas time. Yeah. And obviously that all that stuff was out.
Yeah. Stuff's not in there. Like but in July, that's probably the best time to see it.
Do a Christmas in July, like halfway to Christmas tour. I think that would be sick. I want to see that room so bad.
That would be fantastic. Like, oh, look, there are some pumpkins and there's some Christmas trees and ornaments and Chip and Dale.
That, and then I don't know if they would ever do, I mean, they could do a tour. I don't know. Walt Disney World, I feel like, has so many more tours than we do. But something that has like where all of their animals are kept, not Animal Kingdom animals, because Animal Kingdom does offer their own like backstage tours.
Which I really want to do that tour next time I go.
Oh yeah, same.
That sounds awesome.
But like their stables with their horses.
Yeah, and like the one that was like, just born.
I want to see like you know, Cinderella's horse-drawn carriage horses, and just where are those old boys and
girls? I just want to snuggle with them. I want to see Disney jail.
Well, you could probably, I could give you some suggestions of things to do where you can see it firsthand.
I was sad we didn't get to go to Hollywood Studios. I don't know what, maybe that's like the part, if they added that, that could be like where you go, like see a control room or something. I don't know. Maybe they stayed away from there just because it's so busy because of all the Star Wars stuff.
I mean, I just think it's too much ground to travel. Like these parks aren't, like Magic Kingdom and Epcot are close together. I mean, Epcot and Hollywood Studios are super close together. But
we took a gondola, or not a gondola, a Skyliner. Yeah.
I do feel like it's a time, it's a time situation and a distance situation, because we're dealing with backstage access and roads and
So it was an 8-hour tour, and I felt like half the time was just driving between places.
Yeah.
And I think they did the best they could of like, okay, this is closest to this, this is closest to this, but it's so big. Oh, and we also got to go by the urgent care for cast members.
Oh yeah.
Cool. There that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. 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 Yeah, it would. It was just, yeah, it felt like, oh, I wish we had done more stuff in that 8 hours. But I just don't think, unless you stayed at just two parks, I don't see how you could do more stuff.
No, I think the pacing of it is right for, you know, you have to be able to accommodate. And they tell you like it's an 8 hour tour.
Yeah.
They know. But I think you do spend ample time in places you're at. And I think if you, I think it would be a shame to cut some of that time. And I don't know how else you would.
Do a multi-day tour.
Oh my gosh.
A 12-hour tour. And you can't go Barbara.
I think it would be cool if they offered like a, well, Keys of the Kingdom is a specific Magic Kingdom backstage tour, but a specific like, Epcot, a specific studios. I mean, Epcot,
I would do that.
Epcot does have other, like they have their Behind the Seeds tour.
Behind the Seeds.
Seeds.
I want to do that one. I really want to do the Animal Kingdom one next. That's when you pointed that one out, that one looked awesome. So that one is basically like you get to walk over the animal enclosures on these bridges.
The alligators,
The alligators. And then you get to like feed the giraffes and you get to go just basically see how they care for all the animals. Yeah. Oh, and then one more thing before I forget. We saw the backside. I've seen pictures of this. We saw the backside of Everest.
Oh my God.
And I was freaked out. So you know the part, spoilers, on Everest where you go up and like the track ends and then you go backwards. When you're on the other side, if you kept going on that track, it's a straight drop down probably – like 100, over 100 feet,
for
sure.
Yeah, I don't know how deep
like, it is. Like, it literally was, like, if it – I just – I don't know. I imagined, like, there was just not – I don't know if, like, I thought there was a net – not that, like, you could keep going, but, like –
I never thought about it. And then I was – it was very jarring for some reason.
I just pointed out, I'm like, you could just keep going.
It's done. It's that – it actually just ends.
It really is, like, a drop over nothing.
That was so weird. And then the bird, yes. animatronic, you can just see like on the outside, that it just goes like up and down and up and down. It was like very funny to see it from the back. You're like, that's weird.
Yeah, we saw the backside of the, what's the water ride at Animal Kingdom? Saw the backside of that.
Oh, Collie Rapids?
Collie Rapids, which was closed. We saw like a lot of the, we saw where they did the textures. We drove past there.
Oh, I actually loved that. I've never seen one of those in real life.
Yeah, they have all the different textures for Animal Kingdom, and they like, I don't know if they were keeping them outside to
They'll have like different types of facades or different, you know, they're testing paints, they're testing, they want to see how anything that's built that's outside, how it's going to weather, because the weather in Orlando is super harsh.
Yeah.
So if paint is going to fade, if it's going to chip, and then the easiest and most effective way to repair those things. So seeing that in real life behind Animal Kingdom was pretty dope.
That was cool. So what was your favorite thing on the tour? I liked the what is it called? The Creative Shop?
Central Shop.
Central Shop. I will never remember the name of that. Like Creative Commons.
It's weird. It's a weird
Central
name.
Shop, that was probably the coolest.
Yeah, I think the most like interesting stuff by far is Central Shops.
Yeah.
Because it's so park focused.
Yes.
But I do think that seeing American Adventure from backstage while it's operating is next level.
That was pretty awesome.
You just, you can't, you can't fathom. You can't fathom it.
It like literally you'd see it like go down, go back, go down, go back. And it just like was a beautiful, it just was like a beautiful tapestry of mechanics operating before you, like an elegant dance.
And you think, you just think about how old it is.
Yes.
And how you can still be so impressed. I don't know. It feels like that to, that part to me feels like I got a very special peek into Disney park history.
Yeah, something only people who like operate that ride or people who like not even like most cast members can't go back there. Like it's a very special thing, very special part of history. It was just it was a privilege.
Yeah, it, yeah, it feels like a, that's the best way to put it. It feels like an absolute like privilege to see that.
And there's few things more Disney than animatronics. I mean, they were kind of like invented there.
Yeah.
So it was just really cool to see something so impressive that just worked so well from a push of a button, and it just all works.
Yeah, it like takes two people to operate it.
It's crazy. Have someone who's seating people and then someone to push the button. It's just great. Okay, so on that, is there anything else you want to add about Backstage Magic that I forgot?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a great tour. I think it's a really good tour if you are trying to, if you want to break from the parks, but you still want something to do that's Disney property.
Yes.
Or if you like don't have another, I mean, it's more expensive than buying a park ticket.
Yes. I would definitely say don't do this on your first trip to Orlando. Save this for maybe your third trip.
Yeah, I do. It it takes, I mean, it takes the entire day. You're done at, you know, you're done at 5 o'clock, so you can do something afterward. But, you know, most of your day is gone.
And the parks, when we were there, closed at like 8 or 9.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird, It's like, oh, okay. But it was cold. So thank you to everyone who listened. We hope you enjoyed this. I don't know why I'm wrapping. It's because I'm hungry. That's why I'm wrapping.
I'm also having my belly growling.
So if you want to do the Backstage Magic Tour, you can look it up online.
I highly recommend it. It's one of those things that you will never see photos and videos from, though. That's the thing. It's like these experiences are so – they're only exclusive to that
–
that tour. And we can tell you as much about it as possible, but it is – not going to be the same as being there. Like, this is the best thing to picture.
Yeah, this is, I highly recommend, especially if you're a big Disney fan, like, you will see stuff, even though it's, like, very operational, like, you will see stuff you will never get to see unless you work at that specific department. So you can follow us. You can find, I won't have any pictures from Backstage Magic, so I'm not going to be posting any. I'll post the ones that we were,
that
like,
they took of
that
us.
They took of us. It looks like they're from 2006. So you can find that on 1313 Harbor, the podcast on Instagram. Special thanks to our patrons, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Mandy, Sean, Tiffany, Tori, and Wynette. You can visit our website at 1313harborthepodcast.com. You can email us at 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. That really helps us out. And we also have a Twitter, 1313harbor. To all who come to this happy podcast,
welcome!